This is Parker Pathways. Dr. Wynn Parker, June 10th, 2007. The situation today is very unusual because we have, as a one-year anniversary, if we put it into the middle of this coming week, and the anniversary of Parker Pathways being on the air, and since we started coming from ground zero, why we have started the movement for a constitutional amendment that we have a right to vote what goes in our food, water, and protocols. We developed a grand jury system to be talked about in various states in the United States concerning having a grand jury of science and technology to present a new segment of the law to make judgments on bureaucratic decisions. And that really affects millions of people. And also the aspect of development of research for impurities that are harmful to the human body from chloramine, which was added as a secondary disinfectant byproduct and became a diversion of ethical and engineering and medical and legal proportions, which was exposed nationally on this date as well in the year 2003. This is when I was shoulder to shoulder with the director of the PUC in California, who they had never done research on any ingredients that go into the water to say, well, they're just beneficial to human beings and that type of aspect of it. So we're going to spend the next few minutes after the end of the break here and get all our technical difficulties taken care of on the satellite. And we'll come back to you and discuss.
Calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Live show on June 10th, 2007. This is the one-year anniversary of Parker Pathways. We have come a long way in the past year talking about a lot of subjects in patent law, conceptual idea, regenerative medicine, the effect of chemicals in the water, which can affect medical protocols. We did a show on May 20th, of this year called Privatization of Water Districts and the next war over water and the development of the international treaties for the control of water for the new Third World War, what's called the core countries that are maneuvering right now for water domination. And the exposure of the almost hour-breaking research on halides, which are in water that affect the thyroid gland, and the diabetes classifications with chromosome activation from contaminated water, and plus the contracts that are in Congress right now, not bills, contracts, covering these various subjects that go on the floor next week. And in the process of all of this is the override of the subject of eminent domain, which we're going to be discussing today with a very prominent attorney, Mr. Herman Fitzgerald, which I'm going to introduce in a few minutes. First of all, I want to there's a public article that I'd like to have the viewers give me some feedback as to what you think about it. Simply put, the article I referred to last year when I started the show, but the reporter has taken it upon itself to mention about placing valves that are very special, T-valves and valves that look like crosses that have a four-way valve system, and put them into pipes, and then this is used by the government to put toxins and poisons in the water to selectively eliminate people. That's the focus of the article. One of the things that I'm interested in is what does the audience think of that type of information about that? Do you believe it? Do you think that it's possible? Where do you think it's happening? Because the documents that I've seen show San Jose and Los Angeles as one of the two focus points. There are four other cities I won't mention that this project is going on. And you can take a look at the article and give me feedback as to what you think. It's reported in the Miami Herald, miami.indymedia.org news, and this article pitches in several aspects of the violation of Section 18 and Section 817 of the Patriot Act, which is called Expansion of Biological Weapons Statute. And the title of this kind of piece is Water is a Weapon. And I'm very interested to find out what you think about this and how it develops into the general scheme of a lot of discussion that we've had about the process by which we are using recycled water as part of a blended water system in some cities and towns, which the public is not being told correctly that this is happening. There's all big a sense of denial and a big umbrella placed over this. And I've discussed the medical implications and studies that have been done since 1950 of cancer outcomes from reusable water, and the cities and towns where it's occurred, the actual people who did the research, and the outcome of the medical protocol from that, which was buried in by the EPA and the FDA for years. But you add this wrinkle of the expansion of the expansion of the biological weapons statute under the Patriot Act, is something that I would really not only like to get a feedback on, but you know, to what you think about it. But there are other aspects of it, and it has to do with what the Patriot Act really is about. We need Patriot Acts in the world today. It's just the way that they're working it out. The Patriot Act really stands for providing appropriate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism. That's what the Patriot Act and amalgamates on words mean. But the steps by which this activity has been going on is based on what the author of this particular article from the Miami Herald has other overtones, which I will get into on interpretive opinions on the subject. With, and carefully I say this, the category of biological agents, which I brought up many months ago, which are in categories. For instance, the most lethal out being, of course, the category A diseases, anthrax, botulism, plague, smallpox, tularemia, the viral hemorrhagic fevers, category Bs, diseases to cause as a biological agent would be, of course, the food safety threats, glanders, brucellosis, and melioidosis, which is it's a pseudomelia bacteria, very powerful. Psittacosis, Q fever, ricin, which you've heard of, and staphylococcal infections. Those are intertoxin Bs for the intestine. Typhus fever and viral encephalitis, and four types of encephalitis: Western equine, Eastern equine, Venezuelan equine. And then, of course, the water safety threats, which are Vibrio cholera, and the cryptosporidium, which is one of the ideas of putting chloramine in the water, which causes the trihalomethanes and haloacetic acid and bromic acids, which we've gone into great detail how that destroys fetuses. And then, of course, you have the category C diseases, the emerging pathogens that can be really engineered, which I've discussed on many shows. How that was done, what those were as weapons of mass destruction. The real interesting part of this piece of work that is coming out of the Miami piece, which I on that website, and is that none of these category diseases are completely disseminated by water. Water is necessary for their dissemination. But to specifically kill people, which is on their list in the article, they break out the Patriot Act and who they want to do in. But they, and you can read it for yourself. But even then, I'd like to have your opinion as to how do they make the list? I mean, who, what group was selected and why? But the whole thing comes down to what other organisms are being involved, and we should have a way to determine this, which is why, under the grand jury of science and technology concept, to work it in through the concept of who owns what, who owns the water, who owns the process, who owns the development of being able to make the decisions on how we do defend the country. And there is when we get into the constitutional law question, which I brought up many times and have read on air, which has been taken up as a banner in many states. Many attorney generals have told me, well, the people don't have any right to vote on something like that, to have a constitutional amendment. They can vote on their food and water. The people do not vote. We don't have an initiative. So 20 states in America don't have an initiative process. So they say only the lawmakers can make those decisions. And so we've come a long way for 1 year being on the air. We've got a lot of attorney generals who spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to run around Parker Pathways as if they're in this sandbox, and I welcome all of those attempts. And, of course, the third element of putting in a national amendment on an initiative, on the toilet-to-tap-to-table initiative, on the fact that, as one of my listeners pointed out from MIT, we're drinking Leonardo da Vinci's and Leonardo da Vinci's tears, and of course we are. Of course, you add all the endocrine disruptors, and you do the rest of it that it goes with that chemistry, which I've talked about at great length. There are many more shows that can bring out this information. Sitting on the cap of all this information is a concept of how does a state control the basic concept of ownership and taking. And here's where we have the eminent domain issue, which is mired in real-world legalities and conceptual ideas. Not only do you have the concept of soil being the eminent domain issue, but what about the water? And what about the reusable water? Who owns it? What about the wastewater, and how does it control the real estate development concepts and the other contracts that are made for IRS privilege?
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products. also made with Himalayan salt, I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit soleywellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Parker Pathways. This is a live show, June 10, 2007. And we were just trying to overview the year's accomplishments, and which we couldn't do without the Parker Pathway listeners, which have grown exponentially. And we appreciate that. Particularly, I want to make a point about the truckers and all their truck stops and the university students and the people in the foreign countries that do iPods. And you have a certain sense about we're in one of the greatest ideological struggles in the world right now in terms of how we can survive medically, legally, and physically, and how to define our borders of what we do and what we say and how we do it. And there are certain people in this world that have a background of knowledge and have the history of knowledge. It goes all the way back to very good education and foresight, and people who are the unsung heroes that we've talked about many times, like Clarence Darrow. And we've talked about Clarence Darrow many times, but we have an attorney on today that's a guest of Parker Pathways, who's an eminent domain attorney, and he will be explaining eminent domain and inverse condemnations in great detail, and then we're going to be tagging this into water districts being bought up by foreign countries, and I hope that we have enough time to be going into what we've been talking about for many Parker Pathway shows, and I'll be trying to work it through, but the number of city councils that sold their soul to the devil, to foreign countries, to sell their water for the sake of a good coffee. Herman Fitzgerald has law offices in Burlingame, California, and his daughter, Christine Fitzgerald, is also by his side. And their practice is really limited to the trial of eminent domain and inverse condemnation. Between them, they got 60 years of combined trial experience. And Mr. Fitzgerald has prepared for trial in excess of 1,000 condemnation cases and upwards of 200 cases that are going to trial through to verdict or judgment. And that's very important because that's carrying the water bucket a long way. And he's tried cases in 35 separate counties before all the California courts, the Federal District Trial and Appeals Courts, and the U.S. District Court of Claims, where he's represented individual property owners and private corporations and public agencies. And he's lectured at many of the real estate appraisers, institutes, and the American Right-of-Way Association and the Society of Real Estate Appraisers, and for the California State Bar and the American Bar Association and the American Law Institute. He's been a member of the State Bar Committee on Condemnation Law and Procedure, and he served as chairman of that committee. If Herman has survived the satellite adjustments, which we're now on satellite, if Herman, are you still there? Are you there, Mr. Fitzgerald?
I'm here. I'm here, Dr. Wynn.
Hi. We finally made it through the thousands of miles of outer space.
Yes.
Yeah, good to have you aboard. And
thank you.
Yes.
Good to be here.
Yes, and this is a whole aspect of eminent domain that has people very upset, and I believe that you can allay some of their fears to explain eminent domain, place it in a context of starting from square A, and to define it and work it through, and then we'll start getting into the real messy stuff of foreign governments coming in and buying water districts. Is that okay with you?
That's fine, and I'll be happy to start with just exactly what eminent domain is and what eminent domain does.
That's perfect.
Okay. Well, firstly, we have to bear in mind that eminent domain is an inherent attribute of any sovereign governmental entity. In fact, every sovereign governmental entity has the power of eminent domain. In the United States, it is limited by the 5th and the 14th Amendments on a federal basis, and in California, which is the perspective from which I have to speak because that's where I practice, there's the California Constitution provides the limitation. And that limitation is very important. The two factors that limit it is that the acquisition or the eminent domain of the property that is being taken must be for a public use, number one, and number two, just compensation has to be paid for the taking of that property by the governmental entity. Now, just exactly what is public use? There's no real definitive definition of it. You probably could say that it's a use which concerns the whole community, or perhaps it promotes the general interest in relation to any legitimate governmental object, or even perhaps you could say that it's the reasonable belief that the taking will benefit the public. Let me give you a few very basic examples of public use in California, and probably...
Herman, we'll do that coming in after the break, that'll tie in with redevelopment, too.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
This is Parker Pathways. This is a live show, June 10, 2007, and we're talking with our guest, Herman Fitzgerald, an attorney in eminent domain, and to get an explanation as the lay of the land for eminent domain for all of these other transactions that we have with soil, water, and other issues that we'll be bringing up even in the next hour. Go ahead, Herman. You are getting involved in a very important framework.
Well, right. I think where we recessed for a moment there was the examples of public use. We talked about what public use really means, but looking at some examples, some basic examples in California and probably in most jurisdictions would be an acquisition of property for roads or highways. That's a very basic use. A second one would be an acquisition for public schools. That would be very obvious. A third one, which is getting into your subject today, is an acquisition for utilities, which obviously is necessary. Then you have some that might be a little esoteric, shall we say. In California, for instance, you have a statutory provision that allows a public entity to acquire property with the intention to transfer it to a use which would seem to be a private use. And a very good example would be a case approximately 25 years ago when the city of Oakland decided it wanted to condemn a football team called the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
You probably have some Oakland Raider fans on the radio.
Oh, yes.
Even though the Supreme Court in California did not allow that acquisition, the court did say that it was proper for the city to condemn the property, the Oakland Raiders football team, the franchise, even though it would have been required under the National Football League rules to thereafter transfer the franchise ownership to the league, because there's a league rule that requires all franchises be owned by the league. That was not a terribly broad extension because it's a statutory provision in California, but it makes the point. This brings us then probably to the subject that has the most volatile impact today, as it has for a number of years, and that is condemning property for redevelopment purposes. There are any number of examples throughout the country where you have old downtown areas that have been blighted over the years that are allowed to be condemned for redevelopment purposes. For instance, downtown San Francisco, the Moscone Project, the town where I grew up, Toledo, Ohio, and where I went to law school, I think had downtown redevelopment projects. They're all over the country. But this brings us within the crosshairs of where we are with a very fairly recent United States Supreme Court decision from New London, Connecticut, which is the Kello case. That's spelled K-E-L-O. That was a June 2005 United States Supreme Court opinion, which allowed the taking as being proper for an economic revitalization. New London, Connecticut was apparently an older town, very blighted, with a lot of areas that needed rebuilding and the like. The town council appointed a redevelopment or an economic committee. The committee decided to condemn the downtown properties in order to convey them to a private developer for an office building and the like. And that sounds just like redevelopment. In Connecticut, however, you are not required to make a finding that the area is blighted. And in Connecticut, the finding could be made that there would be an economic revitalization, and by clearing out the old blight, you would be able to bring in new development, private development, mind you, which would increase the taxes. Now, that's a distinct difference between the California law and the Connecticut law, and the whole difference is whether or not blight has to be determined. The media, with all due respect, made a very strong point that this was a dramatic change in the law. However, it was not so. The media had it wrong, the press had it wrong, the politicians had it wrong, and a good number of lawyers had it wrong, because Kello was the proper decision under Connecticut law. The Supreme Court made a statement which a number of states took seriously, and the Supreme Court said, look, if in fact the states do not feel this is a proper type of taking, they have the power to change their local laws. And in conjunction thereto, approximately, I believe, somewhere between 20 to 24 states had on their ballots propositions to change the law to eliminate or to at least downplay the effect of this redevelopment type taking that was done back in New London, Connecticut. California was one. And in fact, you may recall, Dr. Parker, you probably voted in the election last November, wherein Proposition 90 was on the ballot.
Right.
And that would have changed the law dramatically in California. And you note I use past tense because it did not pass. It garnered 47.5% of the vote, which even by any stretch of the imagination is not enough to pass a muster of 50.
Mm-hmm. How, in your mind, why do you think that happened? I mean, in the psychology of...
I can tell you why it happened, because you have in California a redevelopment association which has done some excellent and fine work in redeveloping a lot of downtown blighted areas.
Mm-hmm.
The redevelopment association, as it should, it politicked, I believe, for those purposes, and they pointed out the differences in what a lot of the publicity was that was put out on this, and it showed, I think, that redevelopment can be very good. Of course, like anything else, it can be abused, too. And for that reason, I believe that stopped the vote. Now,
mm-hmm.
I did not see too much advertising in certain areas, but I do recall being down in San Luis Obispo County, and the ads were very rampant down there against the proposition. Now, of course, we do have now two more initiatives that are on the ballot, or they're not on the ballot, but are being circulated now. And if the two initiatives, one or the other, accumulates 700,000 signatures by September 7, 2007, it will be on the ballot in the next election. And again, it will water down a lot of condemnation, a lot of eminent domain provisions.
Well, do you have the name of those two initiatives? Have they been given a name on the sign-up sheet?
I'll have to get the numbers for you. I don't have it at my fingertips.
That's okay.
It yesterday, and I don't have that, but I'll get it for you after the break.
Okay.
But it'll be interesting. Now, the last Proposition 90, the one that did not pass in California last year, really was much broader than any attempt being to downplay the redevelopment or the Kello type of decision. It just covered all types of things. It covered, for instance, a dedication provision.
Mm-hmm.
It's required under the law in condemnation matters. Now, whether that's right or wrong doesn't make any difference, but it certainly had nothing to do with the full intent of what the perception of the population had of trying to to remedy the what was perceived to be a wrong decision in the Kello case.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they overreached, quite frankly. That's just the way I saw it. 47.5% is not enough, and whether they'll do better next time, I can't tell you. There were times when the poll showed that it was running 60% in favor of passing, in other words, of a vote against redevelopment-type acquisitions or condemnation acquisitions. Now, there's no question that, and as you mentioned earlier on, my entire legal career has been devoted to exclusively eminent domain matters, trying the cases. There is a good purpose that eminent domain serves in a number of instances, not the least of which, as I mentioned earlier, the schools, the highways, and the like. Of course, it is abused at times, but that happens to be what works out in the system. I think in the long run, everything works out for the general benefit of the public, and we do have to have that because, as I said earlier, we have had it's an inherent right of any sovereignty. In California, we've had an eminent domain law since 1872. Of course, it was used at those days, I think not primarily, but in large part for the railroads.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we had to have railroads.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And today we have to have other things, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that generally if these matters do end up going to court and they are tried before a jury, and a jury does not decide whether or not the law is correct. The jury just decides how much money the property would bring in California.
Mm-hmm. On the compensation issues.
The compensation. That's the only issue that goes to a jury in California is the compensation issue, and I believe that's probably true in most jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
But that gives you kind of an overview of eminent domain in California. And
so that's that is an excellent overview. If I were approaching this as a new subject, which a lot of people are, because you've cleared up two positions here, how the Kello case has affected the psychology in one part of the United States and has affected it differently in the other part of the United States. And a lot of, because people look at this entirely differently in terms of how do you say this without alienating 200 million people, which I understand from the General Accounting Office, this is pretty close to what the opinion rates are on eminent domain. There are only three subjects that meet the high standards of opinions, which poll takers will not admit. It's not the Iraqi war, believe it or not. It has to do, eminent domain is three. Second is stem cell research.
Uh-huh.
And one, the real issue, the real government work, you know, is the economy. And the aspect of, let's say, knowing that you were going to be on the show, not a button had been pushed, no satellite had been warmed up. 200 emails I received, all 90% of them the same, not this exact wording. How do we fight this?
Yes, yes.
And just keep that in mind, Herman, as we talk to elucidate on the thinking of this. These are regular people that have property that see themselves threatened in ways that they have long ago suppressed and now are expressing, particularly the towns that have been directly affected by corporations, American Water Works, Nestle, the Thames companies, and the rest of it. And in the background, they see the Public Utility Commission agreeing that the American Water Works company, for instance, can go and buy a water district, almost with the PUC's blessing.
Well, I certainly can't speak as to the California Public Utilities Commission or any utility commission. They have a function to perform, or I should say it has a function to perform, and they perform it generally very well, I think. We do need that type of regulation. But in speaking to the water utilities and the like, and you mentioned the American Water Company, and I think I mentioned to you earlier, not on the broadcast, but when we were speaking, that I represented a water district on the San Mateo County coast about 20 miles south of San Francisco called the Montara Sewer and or Water and Sewer District. And I was employed by them to acquire by condemnation a water system that was owned by California American Water Company. The system was originally built in 1927. It was an old system and was in the ownership of Citizens Utilities for years. American Water succeeded to the ownership, and the ownership was vested then in an entity called the California American Water Company. Now, that company was part of the American Water Company, and which subsequently, and just prior to the initiation of those proceedings, and I've, if memory serves me right, it was, I believe, in January of 2001 or 2002, the company was sold to RWG, a large German conglomerate of utilities. And we went through the battle of condemning the water system in order that the local citizenry would have control over the system. Now, I'm not casting any stones towards the California American Water Administration or those people. They're good people. They're professional people and the like. But let's face it, the water company is probably best administered by local people with local interests at heart. And that's ultimately where we went. It took, if memory serves me right, a year to 18 months to acquire the property. We ended up settling the case short of trial, but we got awfully close. And I am involved in other water company acquisitions. And it's interesting to note that RWG, after buying the American Water Company, if that's my understanding, I may or may not have that fact right, but they did succeed to some sort of an ownership of it. RWG, if I'm not mistaken, disposed of all its American Water Company holdings throughout the United States within the last year or so. You may have some information on that.
No, the RW, that was a very interesting situation. I'm going to mention very quickly. The first aspect of your comment about people locally having a better input on the control of their water ties in with a sentence which I have on this constitutional amendment concept and for the national initiative, and one of the sentences that I have is the following: right to control affordable, accessible, and sustainable water resources. And that is the national movement that I put forth. And the other aspect, the RWG folks, they had already decided in some form to pull out of America, but they listened to the second Parker Pathway show.
Oh.
And they said, we don't want the legal liability of the health consequences, so we're pulling out of America. $1.5 billion in one day. We'll come back to this.
Thank you.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
This is Parker Pathways, live show. And call in number is 800-313-9443. And we'll be moving into the next hour concerning eminent domain and other issues, which are going to bring up the word privatization and see how privatization is defined. In EPA terms, privatization is between a public and private sector in the water and wastewater industry, which the EPA has tried many times to support. I'm sure, Herman, that you have issues that you would want to discuss about privatization.
Well, usually everything begins with home rule. And that's essentially, and let's just use the example of the Montero Citizens Tree, if I may, although there have been a number of other instances where there are local efforts made to acquire the water system. There are some going on, as you know, Dr. Parker, we discussed. I think you're familiar with the people down in the Santa Cruz area in the Felton community, where I have a particular reference, where they're going through the same situation with the California American Water Company down there. Lexington, Kentucky, I believe you had some reference to, and I counseled those people for a number of months. And at the point there, what happened back there, unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately, but what happened back there was an election, and my understanding was that Lexington is not at this point acquiring or making any efforts to acquire the system, but I'm not updated on that. And I think that goes on throughout the country. And one of the reasons, and I'm sure you're aware of this, is the fact that Montura experienced the situation where any service call at certain times back to Alton, Illinois, and your reply came from somewhere in Illinois, apparently. And that simply was not responding well to local citizens who had a break in their pipe on Saturday night.
Well, they were getting in the Lexington, Kentucky situation. They were talking to people in India.
Well, that's not unusual, obviously, and I know that one of the local attorneys in New Jersey—I can't recall the town—called.
By the way, Herman, I can hear you better now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that better? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's better, Herman.
I don't know if the satellite or whether it's me.
No.
One or the other.
We're not going to worry about it. Maybe we should have an eminent domain on the satellite.
Well, I'm much older than the satellite, so that should probably work much better. But the long and short of it is as to the being switched to India or Alton, Illinois. Alton, Illinois, I'm sure, is a nice community. It's kind of hard, however, to service a broken pipe on Saturday night some 2,000 miles away on the San Mateo County coast in Montana. And that's kind of hard for local citizenry to understand, and I don't blame them. It would bother me. Obviously, you can't have... in today's day and age, with the economies of scale and the like, the virtues of big business is preached, and obviously there are cost savings. But it's kind of hard to avoid the benefits of having local people servicing your neighbor, servicing your water line and the like.
And this is going on, Herman, all over America. And it is. And we're going to get on the next hour. We're going to get discuss the eminent domain and privatization in more detail and some of the social plans that are in effect right now. We'll see you at the other end of the break. And call in is 800-313-9443. And the people that are taking notes, ask the question.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against